B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Danny Warsnob is my guest today. Of course, you know him from Asking Alexandria and We Are Harlot, but he's also got this solo stuff out that sounds nothing like either one of those bands. He says you'd be surprised who shows up at one of his solo show concerts.
I'd say a good three-quarter of the people who come have no idea who Asking Alexandria is.
What makes Danny such a workaholic to be in all these projects?
I think I've been broke before. I've slept under benches in train stations before. I don't want that again.
We talk about his sobriety as well as what's going on in 2020 with all of his different bands.
This year, there's going to be new aspects of music. There's going to be new Harlot music, and there's going to be new Danny Warsnob music.
From man, Danny Warsnob is my guest today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
This is Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Meltdown here along with Al Beck. Hey, Al.
I'm here.
There he is. Danny Warsnob coming up here for you in just a few minutes. Never had a chance to talk to Danny. I remember one time back during Rock in the Range, I want to say 2013, 2014 perhaps. I remember him walking through like the media press tent, and he had like some old like, I don't know, it was like a football or a war helmet or something on. I'm not exactly sure. And it seemed like he had been tipping a few. And this was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So I did ask him about sobriety on this interview coming up here and stuff. So we talk about that. Of course, this solo stuff is way different than Asking Alexandria or We Are Harlot. We get into that as well and a lot more. And then, of course, we got rock news. And the big news, of course, in the world of rock is the passing of Neil Peart, the professor. I mean, you know.
That's sad, man. It really is surprising, too. I mean,
really surprising. Of course, they kept that under wraps for about 3 years that he had this brain cancer.
Brain cancer.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, Neil Peart, gone at the age of 67. We'll talk about that. A classic band putting out a new record. Actually, two classic bands putting out new records in February. And we'll talk about that coming up here, as well as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame voting. Did you vote?
No, I didn't.
You are a bad rock and roll patriot.
I just sort of let things happen around me.
There you go.
And report on them barely.
Yeah, barely. Yeah, that's the key word, barely.
Barely.
So, anyhow, well, we'll talk to Al coming up here in just a few minutes. First thing I had to ask Danny is, you know, this tour is called The Tour. The Tour.
It's The Tour.
Yeah, it's like, how long did it take to come up with that title?
Right. A little longer than I'd like to admit.
It came
to me very quickly. So I think the idea, like the entire concept of this job, is ridiculous to me. It's hilarious, and I like kind of doing this very tongue in cheek. Like just the concept of like, sure, I'll go to work, but I'm gonna need you to buy me a bottle of tequila and a change of underwear first. Like it's the craziest thing on earth. So when it was coming to the tour, it was. I feel like there was a period where everyone was naming their tours something, and then that kind of died, and it's just being like it's an album tour. You name the album tour, then that's it. So I wanted to do something a little different, and then I just thought I'd make fun of the whole thing.
Yeah, it is funny you mentioned that, because I've been doing this since you were born in this radio business, and sometimes I think to myself, you know, well, people have said before, it's like, you know, you guys don't get paid for really playing on stage. You get paid for all the travel and all the nonsense you do outside of what you do on the stage, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the irony of the whole thing is that, you know, people are actually there watching you work. It's like people don't watch me work, you know, so they're watching you work.
I've never thought of it that way, but you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I like that.
So Shades of Blue is the latest record. Obviously, I have to ask you about this. So what are the Asking Alexandria fans think about this record? I know you've probably answered this a billion times, but I mean, it's a complete 180 from what you're known for doing.
Well, this is kind of going back to my roots. This is what I did before Asking Alexandria, and this was kind of what I cut my teeth on. So it was an opportunity for me to kind of take it back and go back to the beginning. It's been received great. I mean, I think people were confused at first, maybe. But the one thing I've noticed is the fan base in the crowd has changed dramatically since when it first came out. I think when it first came out, it was a lot of X1973 fans, obviously. And over time, it's a completely different fan base now. I mean, there, of course, is crossover, and there are people who love both. But, I mean, I'd say a good three-quarter of the people who come have no idea who X1973 is. Which is great. It means that I'm reaching more people. My customer base is broader, and it means that I can introduce X1973 to those people.
Do you ever look at a guy like, for example, like a Corey Taylor that does all sorts of different things between his writing, acting, all sorts of different bands, and maybe even model yourself a little bit after what he's doing?
While it is similar, I don't think that it's been a conscious thing for me. I'm a creative person, and I like working. I like staying busy, and I love what I do. So the more I can put on my plate, the better for me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you: do you consider yourself a workaholic?
My wife considers me a workaholic.
So does mine.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, where do you get that from?
I think I've been broke before. I've slept under benches in train stations before. I don't want that again. I know what it's been like to be hungry. I know what it's like to have been poor, and I don't wish that life upon myself again. So I like to win. I like to succeed, and I like to work hard for what I have in this life. I love it. It truly is. Like, it's what gets me up in the morning. I wake up, and the first thing I do is, cool, I'm hitting emails, and then I'm brainstorming new ideas. And so, I mean, I have various businesses, and I work with a lot of other businesses, and I'm constantly coming up with something for one or multiple of them, and that's what I'm passionate about.
Yeah, it sounds like some other guys I've talked with, like, for example, like a Nikki Sixx or something like that. You know, those guys are constantly working. And you mentioned something like, even in my own life, it's like sometimes I'm afraid of failure, so I work extra hard. Do you find that with yourself then?
No, I'm definitely not afraid of failure. Because I feel like that's where we learn our lessons, and that's where we grow. So I welcome it. I embrace it. I seek it out. I constantly am pushing myself into things that I know I can't do, because you fail at it enough times and you figure it out, and then all of a sudden you have a new tool.
Yeah. So you say that you like to wake up in the morning, do your emails and the whole thing. So how long ago did you build or complete your home studio?
As soon as I finished it, I tore it down, and I'm building another one.
So how come?
I don't know. I have no idea. I would like it to be in a different room. I tore it apart. I have come 6 months to the wall.
Are you like driving
upstairs?
Are you like driving through the mountains right now or something?
Driving to Minnesota right
now. Okay. Yeah. The signal is kind of cutting in and out a little bit. But with that studio, does that give you the luxury to just wake up in the middle of the night and run down there and just plug in and put down ideas?
Yes. Yeah. I when it's in the night, more often than not, I'll just record it into my phone.
Yeah.
Which, again, my wife hates. But, it keeps the lights on in our house. So she deals with it as best she can.
Now, your wife is a Navy veteran?
Yeah. She's active duty still. She's got about another 3 weeks, and then she will be a veteran, yes.
And now, does she travel with you, or...?
Well, no, because she's still in. So okay. She's the government don't let her travel that much with me.
So what do people compare this this record to? Because when I listen to it, I hear like a Sturgill Simpson, a Chris Stapleton type of vibe to it.
I think it's a hard record to put in a box. I mean, there's so many different flavors and sounds. I think from song to song, it could be a blues song, and then a rock song, and then a funk song, and then a country song, all one after another. I think it's hard to kind of put a genre on it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's all the stuff that influenced you growing up.
Yeah.
So where do we lay right now with Asking Alexander? You guys got a record coming out this year?
We do. The album's finished. I believe it's being mastered right now. I'm actually waiting on those masters any day now. New Ask Alexandria album coming in the second quarter.
The second quarter. Okay. What can you tell us about the record, the sound of it, anything in particular that you were writing about or that was in your brain?
I don't know if I can tell you much about it just yet.
Okay. Got to keep it under wraps for a little while.
I've got to get the green light on sharing the information on that one.
Yeah. And where does, this might be a ridiculous question, but where does We Are Harlots stand right now?
Jeff is actually flying into my house in, I think, the end of February. We're going to hunker down in the studio and get at least a couple songs done and put them out. So there will be this year, there's going to be new Aspect Sounding music, there's going to be new Harlot music, and there's going to be new Danny Washington music.
Wow. Oh, the trifecta.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the mod this year.
Now, let me ask you about this, because I'm not sure if you've... I'm just looking through the stuff in here. Are you sober?
No. Well, I was about to say, currently, yes. But no, there's probably still a little lingering in my blood from last night. No. I'm a big fan of tequila. I love my tequila. We have fun. It's definitely not like I used to be. I can't function the way I do if I'm doing that. But when we have reasons to celebrate, we celebrate.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's important not to put a definitive line like, hey, you cannot do that because. My rebellious nature kicks in, even if it's against myself.
So it's under control, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you find you're more productive and more creative that way?
Yeah, I think leaning into our vices sometimes can create a very good atmosphere for finding new things and finding different ways to do things and generally let the mind take over and do its thing.
Do you ever think about where you might be had your crazy, rebellious, compulsive behavior just gone overboard years ago?
Oh, it did.
Yeah, I mean, but if you didn't stop it, I should say.
Oh, I'd have been dead.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of guys who are on the, sober train, from the Pop Roach guys to whoever, and all of them seem to really have embraced that kind of lifestyle. But I guess if you can control it, the more power to you then.
Yeah, I'm human at the end of the day, and I'm a very impulsive person. Sometimes it gets a little out of control. Sometimes it takes a little reining it back in. It's only really when I'm on tour, when I'm home. I mean, I'm just sat in the office, and as a general rule of thumb, I don't drink. We go out once a week for dinner. We have date night once a week, and I'll have a couple drinks then. But outside of that, I'm just home and I'm working, so it's. When I'm on tour, it gets me in a good place for the show, loosens me up, and we're celebrating with fans every night, so it's kind of just a part of that ritual for me.
And a couple of final things here for you, Danny. We'll cut you loose. Do you follow the royal family drama at all?
No, I don't give a fuck about that.
Okay,
sorry for cussing. I just remembered on the radio.
No. That makes two of us. Trust me when I ask you. When I tell you that. But final thing here for you. Neil Peart just passed away. Do you have any thoughts? Did Rush ever play anything into your life? Any influences?
It didn't. I know this usually splits the room, but I was never a Rush fan.
Right.
All the respect in the world to him and to those guys and to the fans, but it never really did it for me.
Yeah, it's funny you say that it splits the room because, you're either on the Rush side or you're not. There's no two ways around it. So, hey, well, listen, man, good luck with the record Shades of Blue. We'll look forward to hearing all sorts of new stuff from you this year. You're playing Thursday here in the Motor City in Pontiac at the Pike Room. And really great to talk to you, Danny. Thanks so much for the time.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And he's back for Rock News, his first one of the new year. Of course, you weren't here for the first one with Stick, so I had to have Stephanie from upstairs do it. And she did a great job, by the way.
Good.
Awesome job.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Keep saying that over and over again. I feel like my job's in jeopardy here.
Well, you do get paid
a
lot.
Well, I wish her better luck than
yeah,
I had.
Yeah, there you go. So how's vacation, all right?
Oh, it was great, man.
You're off
good
for 2 weeks, eh?
Yeah, for 2 weeks. I, you know, was got a little bit bored, and then I got used to it, and it was great.
I didn't have to see you, which was good.
Yep.
Did you try any whiskeys or bourbons over the...
You know what I tried for the first time was a peanut butter whiskey.
Yeah, the Screwball?
Screwball.
Yeah, I don't know. I bought that over the Christmas break, too, and I think I had a shot of it with Kevin and the guys up at the machine shop back a few months ago, and they're all raving about it and stuff. Quite frankly, I'm not into gimmicky stuff because, first of all, it's got sugar in it, and that's what gives you just a hellacious hangover.
Absolutely, it does, yeah.
So you can't be drinking it all night long.
Can't do a lot. I mean, like, dude, I can just sip on that thing neat, and it's delicious. It's so good.
Yeah, but you can't have, like, 12 of them like I like to
no,
have.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll reserve that for the scotch nights, personally. Yeah.
So, I don't know if I tried anything new. I did have a lot of Jack Daniels one night. Then there was another night I had a lot of Jack Daniels. When I had a lot of Jefferson's one night, but anyways.
Because you like bourbon, too. I also tried that Angel's Envy is a bourbon.
Yeah, I just had some Angel's Envy over the weekend, so yeah it's good stuff as well. So, if you're out there, hit me up with your bourbon suggestions at Meltdown WRIF, if you're listening to us at Albeck Radio as well, as we like to partake in some of that stuff. Of course, over the weekend, we raised a glass in honor of a fallen member of, just as far as rock drummers go, I'm not sure if there's
there's nobody like him.
No,
certainly.
I mean, you got your Mike Portnoy's, of course. You got your you get your Danny Carey's from Tool. But you know, Neil Peart is like just. You know, I had to announce this on the radio because it came to life during my show.
Yeah,
and it was tough. I'm like, wait a minute. We're going to be living in a world without Neil Peart. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, Rush could be sort of a polarizing band. I mean, there's people who love Rush. There's people who just don't get Rush. I mean, but like, even no matter what you say, even whether you thought he was the best drummer in the world or not, like, he was unique.
Well,
and there was no drummer like him, you know?
Yeah, like Danny was just saying, he goes, you know, I'm in a divided room because I'm on the side where I'm not a huge Rush fan, but you can respect him, like you just said.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge Rush fan either, but I get it. Like, I have a tremendous respect for all of those guys.
Obviously. And you play bass, so, I mean, you know, you got to...
A little bass, drums, and guitar.
Yeah, know? And so you know how hard it is for some of the stuff they do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so
all of them are incredible.
Yeah. For whatever reason, over the Christmas break, I just went on this Rush tangent and I was watching Beyond the Lighted Stage, their documentary. Yeah. And it's so cool to see how, you know, Alex and Geddy have known each other since they were just kids, you know, and they're and then Neil came in after the first record. But what's really astonishing about that band is even when I was talking to Geddy Lee last year on this podcast, you can kind of feel the love and respect that he has for the other guys in the band, and I'm sure it's vice versa. You never heard a bad word said by any of the guys about any other members. There was never any breakups, you know, nothing like that. So it was, it's a sad day, but Neil Peart is gone at the age of 67. Yeah. It's been a week now.
I know.
Even though they held it off for like 3 days.
I know, it's crazy, but lots of tributes. You kind of mentioned how you would, watch that documentary and stuff. You've got some Neil Peart stuff you had posted over the last few months, like you did a Top Drummer blog.
Yeah.
So people can go back and check out some tributes that you did on your blog, but also there's other artists, like obviously you mentioned Danny Carey, you know, Tool.
Yeah.
There's an article where Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins together went up and paid tribute. Obviously, this guy inspired so many people. And if you, kind of want to do a deep dive into Neil Peart, there's a lot of tributes up on the radio station website. You can head to WRIF.com or your local station can check out some more stuff. But man, big hit to rock and roll.
No doubt. And it's like one of those things, too, where, Neil was kind of an enigma as far as how he lived his life, right?
Yeah.
But if you think about it, he let more people in. He let a lot more people in to his life than you would know, because not only was he a drummer, but he also wrote the lyrics.
Yeah.
And so he actually put more out there into the ether than most people do, for as quiet and as private as he was.
Yeah.
And I got to get that book, Ghost Rider, where he rode across Canada and down and through the States, down into Belize. I mean, just crazy. all by himself. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody told me that he was recognized three times on that yeah. like 55,000 mile journey or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course he was a writer, and so what did he do? He wrote about it, you know. And that's from 2002, but that seems like something I got to get into definitely before the sunshine comes back out and get my Harley Davidson back on the road. But yeah, Neil Peart is definitely a big loss in the rock and roll world. So let's switch gears here to Pearl Jam.
Yeah. So we've been looking for, they've been working on this new album for quite a while now. And I kind of had a feeling we were going to get an announcement for the new album because they had said they were going to be taking a break from playing together anyway until they were done with the record. And then they started announcing a few shows, but they hadn't announced the album yet. But we did get the announcement. The Pearl Jam album, which is Gigaton, is going to be coming here on March 27th, which is the first one. It's been 7 years since Lightning Bolt came out. They also announced a few North American tour dates. Not a lot, though. Nothing here in Michigan. But obviously, dude, they've got a brand new album to support. So there'll be more dates coming down the road.
You know, I'll obviously probably give it a listen. But I don't know. Does the world need another Pearl Jam record right now? I mean, sorry, I'm not trying to be facetious. I don't know. It's like, do they? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it sounds.
Yeah, sometimes you get a band that's you're just like, well, you've got the one. you've got a couple, you know.
You know, I played Black in a lot. And all those songs that are brand new on the radio, right? And it's like, and then Versus and Vitalogy and all these records came out and stuff, and nothing really captured that first record, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and sometimes that happens when bands, like, they make this, unbelievable album.
Yeah.
And they just had this huge kickstart to their career. And then they're like, oh, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do now. You know, and some could say that Rush did the same thing with 2112.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and of course, 2112, they put out this record. And, I'm sure the record company's like, whoa, the 20-minute song, what are you doing here? And the fans were like eating it up.
Yeah, of course.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'll give the new Pearl Jam a listen and see what it sounds like. Speaking of new music, the world needs another Ozzy record.
That's always needs another Ozzy. Yeah. And you know what? I'm totally on board with this one. Was it Straight to Hell with that line about he's going to make you defecate?
Yeah. I know. And I'm like, really? You know, people are sitting around a room and they're like, okay, I got it. Defecate.
It gets me every single time I
know.
Hear it.
And people are like, and other people in the room are like, that's it. Awesome. I'm like, what?
And it was like the second single. Like, it's just not only one of the singles.
I have to admit this, Ordinary Man song is pretty good with Ozzy and Elton John. A little slash on guitar as well.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. But they did release all the details for the new album. Now, you and I seem to have had different information. I could swear they were teasing that we were going to be getting this thing in January of 2020. But we were getting a little bit later than that. Not too much later, though. February 21st, Ordinary Man will be available from Ozzy.
All right, 21st. Okay.
Yeah,
all right,
February 21st.
Yeah, Ordinary Man. Yeah, if you get a chance, check out that single from Ozzy. Of course, Ozzy and Slash and Elton John, all Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going next. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The fan vote. So hopefully something good, right? Well, we've got the top five that came out on the fan vote from fifth to first. You're looking at Judas Priest, Soundgarden, The Doobie Brothers, Pat Benatar, and Dave Matthews Band.
Now, I don't want to take credit for this. Maybe I do.
Matthews Band?
No. But two of those bands talked to me on the Talkin' Rock podcast last month.
Oh, obviously.
There you go.
Hall of Fame interviews.
That's right.
Yeah.
Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers and Rob Halford from Judas Priest.
Mm.
The other bands didn't reach out to me. Dave Matthews is not texting me and saying, hey, Meltdown, I want to get on the podcast.
Well, that interview may be why Judas Priest was number five instead of two. Maybe took a hit.
Perhaps. Good for those guys. I would love to see Soundgarden get in. Who else is on the list, by the way?
Oh, I don't have that up in front of me.
Nine Inch Nails and stuff like that.
Yeah.
MC5 and, bands like that. But
as for that fan vote, the fan ballot is counted among the submitted ballots for voting, which is committed with each of these artists receiving one extra vote.
Right, an extra vote. Yeah, there you go. So it doesn't mean like a ton, but hey.
But it's input. Yeah, it is input.
Yeah, good for those guys. I know, look, I think that a lot of these guys on the outside, they kind of show like, it's not that big a deal. But I think on the inside, they really want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sure.
It cements their legacy.
Yeah, it really does.
So Anyhow, what else you got going on? Anything?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, we've got a really cool, we got some, I've got some interviews already locked and loaded, which I might actually throw up on the podcast here probably by the end of the week. I know for sure the guys from Twisted are coming in, Madrox and Monoxide. And I love talking to those guys. They've got their Astronomicon. Have you been to that before?
I haven't, no.
Now, you're a con guy, right?
A Comic-Con? I'm a comic guy. I like that the culture around it. I'm not really a convention guy. I don't really like crowds and, you know, people.
Okay, because their Astronomicon happens here in Southeast Michigan in Sterling Heights, February 7th through the 9th, and it's really cool. And Lita Ford's going to be there. Lita, the wrestler, is going to be there. I think Lita.
Like, whoa!
I think Lita Ford actually might have been. They might have been talking to her about.
Could
have
been.
Because she does do some of those cons.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lita's going to be there. And also,
you're just
Bill
wishful
Mosley.
Thinking. You like that Lita Ford?
I do, but I like Lita too. I like her with her little teabag thong thing she has going on. Back in the day, that was pretty cool.
Meltdown's daydreaming today.
Right. So anyways, that's coming up February 7th through the 9th, Astronomicon in Sterling Heights, Michigan. If you're, you can check it out, of course, on the web and whatnot. So we'll talk to those guys coming up here in just a bit. Always great conversation with those guys. So plug your socials.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
At Meltdown WRF. Hey, guys, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
Come and go. In and out of my life.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.